This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on April 28, 2024. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
Reading comes from 1 John chapter 4, starting from verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God if we love one another. God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as Saviour of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brother or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Perfect love casts out fear. John says. We're going to explore that a little bit just in these next few moments. In my life, I've been blessed to learn God's love, often in the love of other people. I think of examples in my life. One example that sort of stands out for me with a little bit of time in between is when Sue and I were married about 40 years or so ago, just like yesterday, it seems. Wasn't long after that my mum was diagnosed with cancer. And Sue showed me amazing love in the way that she invited my mum to come and live with us in our new home, just as we were starting out marriage. I thought, wow, this is amazing love. Almost 40 years on, Sue herself was diagnosed with cancer. And the love that was poured out by people, St Paul's, again showed me the magnitude of God's love for us. It's so often as we love one another, and especially in the places of fear, a fear of what's going to happen next, that God shows us what love is. What a difference love makes. God's love for you and God's love in you. Let's pray. Thank you, loving God, for sending Jesus to fully show and to fully be love for the world. Send us your Spirit now to keep us close to Jesus, that we might hear, receive, and also in our hearts be prepared to share perfect love with all in our lives too. Amen. Perfect love casts out fear. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm a little bit anxious and fearful. I don't know about you. Sometimes I'm anxious for people who I love. Maybe it's a situation, just as I outlined before, where someone I love is going through a very difficult place and I can't seem to do much about it. Times when I can't control everything. Times which are beckon with something that's unknown to me, who wants to control everything. Times of change. Times of challenge. Sometimes I'm anxious and, yes, even fearful. How about you? As a Lutheran Christian, I grew up in Sunday school learning the small catechism that we are to fear and love God. And the words of Proverbs 1:7 lead us to this place. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But this word fear is really related to a relationship that God already first establishes with us. This is a trust in the Lord. This is a receive the Lord's gifts and respond with thanksgiving. In doing so, we don't have to let our need to control our fears overcome us. God, who is love, is surely with us. And as John says, the love of God is enough on its own to cast out fear. This John says to us, and this he said to Christians in the first century back in Asia Minor, modern day Turkey, if you will. So let's just unpack a little bit what was going on back then and why John wrote these words. The problem in the church in that place at the time was that there were some false teachers who denied especially the messiahship and the divine sonship of Jesus. The first letter, the letters, these three, have this element that they are quite aggressively a defence against those who are teaching this false stuff. They're an aggressive defence against those who would live in the darkness of fear, of causing people's faith to be brought into question. They're not living in the light, John is saying. So John outlines to his hearers, including us today, three tests. And these come out very, very clearly in 1 John, I think, if you have a look and read it quite closely. And I'm going to introduce these three tests of Christian faithfulness and Christian living in some verses which come just before the reading that we heard Abby read for us this morning. Just before 1 John 4 comes the words of 1 John 3:23, and they're up on the screen. And I'm just going to highlight a couple of the words that come up in this verse. And this, John writes, is his, that is God's commandment. God's commandment. So just hold on to that word commandment, that we should believe, hold on to that word believe, in the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and that we should love one another just as he commanded. So commandment, believe, and love. Just hold on to those three, and I'm going to unpack those a little bit. There are three essential criteria that John says to the Christians that he writes to that are a good baseline or a good mirror for us to look into. The first test I'm going to call the moral test, and I'm not doing these in any particular order. The first test is the moral test. Those who do what is right are born of God. Those who continue in sin are not born of God. The first test is, do you obey God and his commandments? Do you obey what God says? That's the first test, the moral test. The second test I'm going to call the social test. That is, those who are born of God act it out. They act it out in love. They love one another, and those who hate are not born of God but are born of the devil, John writes. So the second test is, do we love? Do we love as God loves us? The moral test and the social test. The third one is the doctrinal test. That is, those who are born of God confess that Jesus is the Christ, come in the flesh. Those who do not acknowledge Jesus as true God and true human are not hearing God and following where he leads. So the third test is this: who do you say Jesus is? Three tests that John weaves into his letter to the Christians there. John makes the point that those who teach falsely fail on all three of those tests: the moral test, the social test, the doctrinal test. And here's his logic. Since they deny Jesus as the Christ, they deny both the Father and the Son. And since they deny God, they fail to keep his commandments. And since they fail to keep his commandments, they cannot and do not love God or their brothers or sisters. And they bring fear to the community. On the other hand, John is confident that those believers who don't fall for the trap of these false teachers do pass these tests. He writes to them, and he writes to you and me to support us, to assure us, and to build us up in the faith. Just like we're going to see perhaps this amazing thing happen next door, where out of the nothingness will rise a building. Might there, John says, in the community where you are, rise up a people of faith who love, whose building may not look like a vineyard that Marlene was describing before, but in this building and what will come next, we will literally see this wonderful branch and the fruit of love. The fear caused in the community by false teachers needs to be addressed. So in this letter, and I think it's a lovely letter, 1 John, if you haven't read it recently, do yourself and do the community a favour and read it. Because what you will find in there is not just the defence of the faith, but these beautiful little sermons and snippets where John wants to build the people up against that, you know, those who want to cause the fear in that community. He uses words like little children, my beloved, beloved by God. And he goes on to use these words in our text today: this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we're like Jesus, he says. But know this, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. John wants to assure the Christians that he writes to, including you and me, that we are God's people. And God has a plan for us to grow in his love, to be who he has made them and us to be. People who confess Jesus as our Lord and who proclaim and live his love, especially in times where we might face even fear. So how might this speak to us today? Well, I'm sure there are all sorts of ways that might come to mind. I'm just going to mention a few. John wrote his letters in the late first century at a time where Christianity was very much a minority religion, perhaps struggling for its existence. Maybe we face some similarities in our country today, as Australia becomes a more and more secularised land and the people around us know less and less of the story of Jesus. We also heard and saw some of this in Indonesia, by the way, where this country is a Muslim country. Sometimes, like me, you might wonder, will there actually be a church left for our kids and our grandkids? And I think of James especially, who turned one yesterday, and the church that of love that I want to see for him. John writes to a community then which may be facing some anxiety, but with that anxiety comes God's sure call to mission. He writes to encourage people in their faith and in their lives of listening to God and learning to love as God first loves them. So my friends in Christ, in these times, and particularly as, let's use this building project as an opportunity to measure our growth as God's people, particularly in love. Encourage one another in the faith. It's a vital part of God's mission call. And it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what your circumstance, I think this call to love is something that we can all do. This call to encourage someone is something that we can all do. Who can you encourage on their faith journey today? Don't go to sleep tonight without answering that question, perhaps. It's vital because, like that first century church that John wrote to, we live in times where it's possible for us to go off the rails. It's possible to become a church so concerned with being right and so concerned with passing the doctrinal test, and I think we as Lutherans in this country and in New Zealand might sometimes face this, that we can fail to love. We can fail to love one another. Or sometimes we can be so intent on loving that we fail to listen to God. John reminds us that to fail one of the tests will lead to us failing them all. So encourage one another. Build one another up in Christ. Because there will be times, and there are times I know that I fail. There'll be times where you fail. Call one another back to Christ. John says that fear has to do with punishment. And we know as Christians that this punishment has already been taken on the one who goes to the cross for each of us. And we're met in that place by God, the God of love, who picks us up and sends us into the world. The other important lesson, I think, for us then to take, which this letter speaks of, is the call for you and I, who know the depths of God's love from that place of the cross, to learn to speak boldly and to live with the conviction of our faith and hope. We are a very much conservative in nature as a church, some people might contend. And yet always know this and consider this in your walk in life, that God is always calling you to the radical reality of the gospel message of hope in Christ. The church, you and I, actually have a radical message in our beings. It's a message of hope to boldly live and give. It concerns the word of life. God's action of sheer love breaking into human history in the person of Jesus and giving you and me a reason to live and a sure hope in which to die. We are given a goal in purpose in life eternal. And I think this might speak a good word to an anxious world. What are the fears of the world? What are your fears? The fears of the people that you love? God is love, and perfect love casts out fear, not somehow magically, but as Christ walks with us in and through the things that we face. What a gift this Jesus is for fearful and anxious disciples in a little boat tossed about by the waves. What a gift the risen Lord Jesus is as he speaks a word of peace to disciples locked behind doors in fear after Jesus' crucifixion. What a gift Jesus, true God and true human, is for fearful disciples in Asia Minor attacked by false teachers. What a gift our Lord is for you and me today, wherever we are, and whoever we're with, at church, at home, at work, in rest, in hospital, in grief, at 3 o'clock in the morning when we can't sleep. Wherever there is fear and anxiety, there is Jesus walking with you in it all and through it, loving you and casting out that fear. Dear little children, I walk with you, he says. For us and with us always, encouraging and calling us to be nothing more and certainly nothing less than who we are and who we are always becoming. God's beloved little children, that's who we are. And in daring to love as God loves us, you will see a difference that love makes. God's perfect love makes even and especially such a difference in our anxious world. Perfect love drives out fear. Believe me, I know.